This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today we head to CattleCon 26. We'll hear from Gene Copenhaver and Sky Krebs. That's all ahead on the Agribusiness Report. Right now it's Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins discussing actions within an Ag War Department Memorandum of Understanding under the Food Security Action Plan.
Our very first action to implement the MOU will be through a new partnership between the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency with DARPA and the USDA Chief Scientist. This will allow, first, the sharing of information regarding security vulnerabilities in agriculture. Second, collaboration to develop novel technological solutions to American agriculture's biggest challenges. And third, the exchange of personnel to ensure both departments are well equipped to protect American agriculture.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Welcome back to the 2026 Cattle Industry Convention and Trade Show. I'm Stephen Orr, joined now by Gene Copenhaver, President-elect of NCBA. Gene, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Stephen, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Gene, start off and just tell me a little bit about yourself and your background and where you've been to get here today.
Sure. Well, I'm a fifth-generation cattleman from Southwest Virginia and near the Tennessee line. Previously, I was an ag banker for 38 years, so I was doing two full-time jobs like a lot of our industry does. But we have a stocker operation. I'm there with my middle child, Will. He's on the operation, and I tell people we're the least diversified cattle operation in the United States. We're all males, we're steers, and all bought at the same weight and sold at the same weight. But we started out as a diversified livestock operation, just like a lot of the United States was, cow, calf, stocker, sheep, hogs, and burley tobacco where we live. So it's come a long way. I've been involved with NCBA, a member for 35 years, and been in policy leadership for the last 12 years. So it's been a good segue to be a servant to the industry. You know, it's important. My parents taught me that. My dad was involved in the cattle industry and local, state, and national cattle organizations. So it's been good for me.
We really had some nice policy wins over the last 12 months, a lot of things to be excited about.
Yeah, actually, there's three in particular. First, you know, what came along, the Big Beautiful Bill, and he helped us with a lot of tax issues and conservation, money for animal health and traceability. Next, we had WOTUS in October, November, and I think the WOTUS rules now will probably sustain a little bit longer in the past, and it's not going to change by every administration that comes in. The SACA ruling by United States Supreme Court, I think, will give it some stability. And it's going to be around a while, but I think the biggest one that happened was recently with dietary guidelines, and that you know, putting proteins, beef and pork, and other good proteins back in the pyramid, but turning the pyramid upside down. No one really expected that. But I think it's a result of a lot of scientific study that Chekhov has funded. And then our policy side has taken that scientific findings and run with it and talked to the right people in D.C. and right people in the health industry. And it's been a great thing. And I think doing that, you know, turning it upside down, it's going to be able to grow demand that much more for us in the beef industry.
Gene, you mentioned the checkoff. Talk about the checkoff and what that's bringing to the producers. I'm not sure everybody truly understands all the things that the checkoff is able to accomplish.
Yeah, the checkoff is, you know, it started in the 80s, and I think it's been 40 years, but it was dollar a head then. It's still dollar a head, and that dollar's worth about 35 cents. So you really have to get creative. CBB and the Federation of State Councils have to get creative on who gets that money, and the contractors. There's nine contractors. You know, NCBA is the biggest contractor, but, you know, we take that money, but we don't get paid for a project until we're done with that project, and it's cost plus. So we have to pay the salaries for those people that work on those projects out of that checkoff money, and none of the money goes but to anybody that works on that. It doesn't go for any type of policy things, or it's all for that. And we really don't make money off of that. It just goes for that for the producer, education, research, and promotion. So that's all it goes for. But, we have a firewall that keeps it from going from anywhere else in the association. And, but all our policy stuff is done with dues. So, we have a 25,000 member, association and 175,000 affiliate members, and all that, policy work goes from money from dues.
Gene, as president-elect, when you look out over the next year, what are some things that have you excited, and what are some areas you think really need to be focused on by the industry?
Well, we need to stay the course on a lot of things that we've been working on for several years. One thing is producer profitability. We need to see if we can make every sector profitable. And to do that, you know, we've had a great market, but to do that, we probably need to work on the input side, looking at some regulations that don't need to be there that costs us that much more money on our inputs, and that we'll continue to work on over-regulation. The other thing is the next generation. We have a smart, innovative generation that's coming forward, and I think we have to develop more tools as an association and industry for them to come in. And the transition part, we got to get some tools for the older generation to get out for them. We got to make it easier for them to be able to move at that ranch to them and not be so hard on them tax-wise or otherwise.
And that is Gene Copenhaver. He is the president-elect of NCBA. I'm Stephen Orr from Nashville.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
From the 2026 Cattle Industry Convention and Trade Show in Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Stephen Orr, joined now by Sky Krebs, NCBA Policy Division Chair. Sky, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much. It's exciting to be here at CattleCon, and looking forward to the rest of the days that we're going to be here.
Sky, it's a great time to be in the cattle business right now, and visiting with you in policy. Really, we've seen some pretty monumental policy wins for the livestock industry in general and beef in specific, whether we're talking about nutritional guidelines, whether we're talking about some of the provisions in the Big Beautiful Bill. Tell us about some of those wins.
You betcha, man. What a great time. The dietary guidelines, to see that thing flipped over and that big red beef steak right there at the top. Huge win. That took lots of time and effort to get that there, but we're now getting back to a common sense nutrition program that's just going to be great for everybody. So that was huge. The one big beautiful bill got those tax provisions that we've been working on forever. Got that estate tax. Didn't get full repeal, but we got her up to a reasonable number of $15 million per couple, $30 million, 15 for an individual, $30 million for a couple, permanent. And those were just two of the great ones and many others we could talk about. But for right now, let's just enjoy the win.
And we like to talk about the wins, but your work is never done. Certainly several more policy issues that we want to look at, whether it's predation or some trade issues or whatever. What are the things that we're still working on that you see making gains in the next year?
Well, we would sure like to see some gains on this national predation issue. We've got listed species. We've got the gray wolf. We've got the Mexican wolf. We've got the grizzly bear. We've got the black vultures under the Migratory Treaty Act. We're trying to grow the supply chain, but in the meantime, we continue to lose X amount of animals to federally protected species. And some of those, there's no recourse. You just have to accept that and go through a very complicated compensation problem. So we'd like to get some relief on those. It just makes sense. We're not asking for what we're asked for is management of them, not just let them have free range over our private property.
When you look at the policy landscape, so what are some other things that jump out at you that need the NCBA's attention and producer attention?
Well, we still need to get some clarification on WOTUS. We've come a long ways there, but we need to make sure that that's a workable process there to get those waters of the United States clearly defined. We're a long ways there, but need a little bit more work on WOTUS. EJIA reform is another one that we've seen a lot of abuse in the past. We need to get some oversight on the EJIA. There's some things in the queue on that. The other one is the Endangered Species Act. That thing's been around for 50 years. Great intentions, but the results have been very minimal. Only 2 or 3% of the species ever been recovered. Tons of red tape, administrative oversight. Killed the forest industry in the West with the spotted owl issue. That's an issue from way past, and we're still dealing with issues today that come up. So those are just some of the things in the queue, a lot of others, but hope to get some results on those.
When you look at the beef industry today, what can producers be doing to help you guys make the case, and what can they do to help advance policy?
Well, first off, just what a great time to be in the beef industry. We're getting record high prices, and we've got record demand for it. The consumer is continuing to buy our product. They've got other alternatives, pork and poultry, but they recognize beef is good nutrition. It's a good buy, and so they're there. What they can be doing is obviously support us. We've got some good wins that's helped our producers with the bottom line. Being in volunteer leadership takes time. I get it. Not everybody has the time to go. But just writing that dues check every year, that gives us the resources that we need to go out there and advocate on the behalf of the guy that's just making a living every day with a set of cows or whatever.
When we look at the trade situation and U.S. beef versus other beef, and we recently had the announcement of importing Argentinian beef, is that really that big a concern? How does that play into the overall market in the U.S.?
Well, what we don't want to see is an announcement that makes the market fluctuate where people get hurt. We're free traders. We've got the best product in the world. This administration uses these trade agreements to get a lot of other things done. We don't mind that in the short term, but we don't want that to be a long-term deal. We're willing to trade on the free market because we know we've got the best product out there. So, we'll see where it goes. The Argentine beef incident was a lot of talk about something that's very minimal, but it played well. So we'll see where it goes.
All right. Again, that's Scott Krebs. He is the NCBA Policy Division Chair. I'm Stephen Orr from Nashville and CattleCon 26.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, highlights from CattleCon 26 on the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
USDA's global soybean forecast for February features South American production, with particular focus on Brazil.
This month, we raised our forecast for Brazil's soybean production by 2 million tons based on very favorable weather conditions, which are going to support a record yield. Information we have on area suggesting total acreage planted to soybeans is also higher than we had been forecasting until now. Brazil's soybean production forecast, new record, up about 5% from last year.
World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jackanowski says with higher Brazilian bean production comes
higher crush, where we also see pretty strong soybean meal exports to the EU from Brazil.
Another reflection of Brazil's projected record production within the global soybean balance sheet.
Ending stocks up just over a million tons. Those stocks will largely be held in Brazil.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.